argument today is 22-1706, Algenesis versus Cloudbreak. Is it Mr. Mazurk? Am I saying it right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Don Mazurk. I represent Algenesis. It's a particular honor to be here as the Court rides the circuit, so to speak, and being at law school and presenting the argument today at the law school. So it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for letting us be a part of this. Algenesis respectfully suggests that this Court has Article III jurisdiction to review the Board's finding that it could sua sponte raise the issue of secondary or unexpected results as a secondary consideration of non-obviousness in the IPR and whether substantial evidence, or really any evidence at all, supports that finding. We also suggest that the Board's finding regarding priority, that the claims 4 and 5 were adequately described in the 063 provisional, can be reconciled with this Court's precedent in Biogen, etc. If Your Honors have any questions, I'd like to address your questions.
I was curious as to what do you think is your best argument for why you have Article III standing?
Well, Your Honor, I think it's a pretty clear case of that we have standing. We are practicing the method that is claimed, there is a huge risk that if we proceed, we will face an infringement suit.
That's your concrete injury.
Yes.
Where is the evidence? Is it Mr. Chang? Is that the evidence that you are practicing the claimed invention? Is it the Mr. Chang declaration?
Well, yes, Your Honor. It's the Chang declaration. It's the provisional. It's our application that's part of the record of the patent that we've submitted for priority.
A patent doesn't mean you're practicing the invention, right? I mean, a patent is that you're applying for a patent, not an invention. It doesn't mean you're actually actively infringing.
It describes what we're doing, and we have the citation to the...
But where's the proof that you're doing that? The patent isn't proof that you're doing something.
Correct. No, the proof is Mr. Chang's declaration, where he states that we are using... Remember, this. I think you have to look at the concrete injury in connection with the limitations of the patent at issue.
Sure, the apprehension of suits. In his declaration, he refers to some phase 2 testing that occurred in 2020. The question is, the thing I'm concerned about is I don't see concrete plans after 2020 in his declaration. I just see that he says, he refers to that earlier testing that occurred, and you need to show that you've got concrete plans to continue and use the method. But there's nothing since the phase 2 clause that are referenced on page A5140, paragraph 6.
Well, he's describing this is an ongoing research project that we have. There's a paragraph 26 where we talk about how much money we're spending. Spending money is activity. And we describe how much we've already spent on this project, how much we intend to continue to spend, continuing with this project. It's not been suspended.
Is a pertinent product AG86893, is that the right thing that I should be looking at? I'm just trying to make sure I'm also level setting with you. Is that ready for market? Let me just ask you that question.
We have a lot of work to do before it's ready for market. But I think that's kind of the plaintiff's position, or the petitioner, or the patent owner's position, is that we have to spend these tens of millions of dollars before we have Article III standing. In the Lujan case, the Supreme Court said, no, we don't have to bet the company in order to prove Article III standing.
In your brief, you say that you're working on, I think, phase 3 testing, but there's nothing in the declaration about that. Instead, he only refers to this testing, which I looked up, the Clinical Trials Identifier, NCT, da-da-da. That refers to a phase 2 trial, again, that occurred in 2020. But I don't see anything in his declaration that talks about concrete plans after that phase 2 trial. But if there's something there, please tell me.
Well, I think the notion that we're spending 60 or some number, some amount of money on this project shows that we're going forward.
The declaration doesn't actually say that. The declaration says if we were to bring a product to market, this is how much it would cost to do so. It doesn't actually say that you are, in fact, spending that money. It says if we do it, quote, it will likely cost, and I won't use the number, right, even though you just mistakenly did, because it's confidential, but it says you, that's what it would cost if you did do it. Not that you are doing it, not that you're currently spending that money, but if you were going to bring it to market, that's what it would cost you to do it.
Well, I mean, he says we're in an active project. This has not been suspended.
Where?
This
where?
Is
where?
Not
where? Active project. Where?
Paragraph 5. We have been and are continuing to develop formulations of nintedanib for ocular use, such as the treatment of pterygium, including through research and clinical trials. This is unrebutted. There's not one. It's not like one of these other cases where the parties have acknowledged or admitted that they've suspended the program. We have not. We are continuing. I mean, the idea is that if we have a patent issue that's popped up in the course of this thing, in the course of this project, and we're looking at this patent as a huge deterrent in terms of us proceeding through this project. So, like, on any given day, is there any activity going on? We have these products that are under stability. They're there. All the things that are required to get FDA approval are ongoing.
Has there been any threat by Cloudward to sue Algenesis?
Well, I think it's obvious that given what we are doing, that we are testing nintedanib and using nintedanib to treat pterygium, that we are running into the buzzsaw of the 820 patent. We engaged in discussions that are outlined in the Chang declaration to license the technology, okay, that would allow us to use it and to reach some kind of agreement. But that, why would we want to do anything with a patent that is invalid? And that's one of the other issues that would support standing, a licensing an invalid patent, whether or not you should do that. And the third part is we have this other patent application that is pending, that the collateral or the preclusive effects of this decision will bear on the scope of patent protection that
no,
we are allowed
no, it will
to get.
Not. No, it will not. You will have an opportunity to appeal. There's no preclusive effect. There's no collateral estoppel here. Well, you will absolutely, in that other patent application of your own, if an examiner or the board should come to a conclusion like this case about priority, you'll have the ability to appeal that.
Well, Your Honor,
there's no collateral estoppel or preclusive effect. The board doesn't even have to follow what was done here. They don't even have to, and we sure as heck don't. So you can appeal it in that circumstance. You don't lose the right to challenge
but
that.
But it's certainly going to have a practical effect on what the patent office will do, that there was a board finding and
oh
that
my
there
goodness,
would be a
that patent office, are you kidding? How many times do we see them do the exact opposite in two cases?
Your Honor, I still believe it would bear on their decision-making process in a way that would be adverse to the interests of our client.
But the fact that somebody somewhere decided something that may have an adverse interest on your client doesn't mean in this situation you therefore have standing.
Well, Your Honor, I think we've explained that in terms of what the findings will be will have a bearing on what people do with the decision that's being from the court right now. And that is all that is required for Article III standing. It is the minimum.
I do not agree. That what case do you have that says that all that's required for Article III standing is that something that's going on will have some bearing on you?
No,
that's what you just said.
Something, I apologize. I'm just saying that the standard is the minimum Article III standard, which requires a concrete plans for
yes.
future activity that creates a substantial risk of future infringement. We have demonstrated that we have concrete plans to continue with this development program, and that creates a substantial risk of future infringement. We're the way that this everything we do. They argue that we don't have a formulation yet, but the patent doesn't apply to a formulation. It applies to using just a therapeutically effective amount of nintedanib.
What does it stand
now?
Is it in phase 3 trials? Just tell me where it stands right now.
It is. The next step will be the commencement of the phase 3 trial.
So they have not commenced, is that what you're telling me?
The phase 3 trial has not commenced at this time. It is the preparations for it have been going on, all the work has been going on, And the stability testing, you know, the stability testing of the product, all those things
where
that are required.
These things you're referring to right now, stability testing, all of that, where is that in the record for us to rely on besides what you're saying as you're standing here right now?
Well, Your Honor, if additional, that detail is something that we don't, that is, you don't think is implicit in the continuing effort that is in paragraph
it
5?
Not in paragraph 5.
Right.
We have been continuing, and you say Algenesis and Cloudberry both have been and are continuing to develop formulations of nintedanib. And, you know, but it's not very specific. I mean, I think you need to have pretty specific factual allegations in order to show concrete plans. And your argument today goes beyond what the evidence says.
Well, Your Honor, we'd be happy to submit a supplemental declaration if additional details are necessary to support the jurisdiction of the court. We believe that, you know, because of the clinical trials and information provided in those documents with the representation that this project is continuing.
The clinical trials that are referred to are in the past. They're from 2020.
Right, but
they don't show continuing development.
Well, they show. But they show that when you say you're going to do everyone knows what the process is for the clinical development of a project. You do phase one, you do clinicals, and then you do the next set of clinicals.
But sometimes people stop.
But we have not stopped, and
I hear you.
We've described that. Okay. And there's no evidence in the record that we've stopped.
And with respect to your other basis for standing, my question is, I could think about why it is that earlier patent application, if it has priority, could be something that could impact the scope of your continuation applications. But I don't necessarily see where you spelled that out as explicitly as you could have in your blue brief or gray brief.
Well, I think we do in response to the, in our reply brief, in the last section of our reply brief, where they try to call it collateral and say that the collateral efforts, but the collateral references there, it's on the last page of our reply brief, and beginning on page 12 of our reply brief, where they describe our efforts as being collateral, and we say, no, we're not talking about the kind of collateral about the patentee or the challenger being barred from raising the same grounds in a future case.
Sure.
For infringement.
But
being
what do
stopped.
You say you're talking about?
But we talk about our Algenesis PCT in paragraph 13, and on page 13, at the top of the page. So we're referencing, we say the injures Algenesis by impairing Algenesis' own patent rights.
But that's so nonspecific. Do you understand? Like, that doesn't tell me anything. You haven't identified a specific patent, a claim. You haven't identified anything with specificity that would be affected.
But, Your Honor, I don't need to. Claim 5 is so specific, and what we're doing is so specific.
But that's
it's like, how much more specific can we get besides
that's
referring
nothing
to...
The record is the problem.
But
I understand what your argument is, and your argument is very good, but you don't have the evidence to back it up.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, I disagree that we do. It's like, because it's not, how much evidence do we need to put in to establish in an unrebutted fashion that we're using that we're using nintedanib in a therapeutically effective amount to treat tegerium? I mean, that's it. That's all that's required, and that is in the record. This is not a complicated patent where you have all these little pieces and claim elements that have to be shown for.
It's the concrete plans part of the standing test that I have concern about and that I think the panel has concerns about. And so it's not, you know, whether you're practicing the claim, whether what you're practicing, if you're in fact practicing it, meets the claims invention, right? It's more a question of, have you demonstrated, because it is your burden, that you have concrete plans. And there's just a little bit of lack of specificity, and that's the big concern that we are having.
Well, I think, Your Honor, I think it is, we have enough information in the declaration with the amount of effort to show that this project is moving forward. It is not stopped. It's like it's got a beginning, a middle, and end. And I think that we don't have to demonstrate that there's any specific forward movement. We have to demonstrate that there is forward movement in the project, and I think the record is clear that it there
okay,
is.
Okay, why don't we, you've used all your time and rebuttal time. I'll restore some of your rebuttal time for sure, but let's move on and hear from opposing counsel. Is it Ms. Fiorella? Am I saying it right?
It is. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Fiorella, please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Natika Fiorella on behalf of the appellee, Cloud Break Pharmaceuticals. Your Honor, this Court should dismiss the appeal because Algenesis simply has not demonstrated that it has Article III standing to maintain the appeal. Now, as we've heard, there is no dispute that Algenesis does not have a product that is ready for market that can be infringing our patent. So what do they need to show? They need to show, as this Court has already said, concrete plans of future infringement, and that future infringement, or the concrete plans, will give rise to a substantial risk of future infringement and suit by us. And they simply haven't put in the evidence on those fronts. I'm happy to walk through them. I did hear that I think some of the same concerns Your Honors have raised are the ones that we have, so I'm going to mostly respond to some points that we heard. So first, on this continuing research and investment, they have pointed to, all I heard was paragraphs 5 and paragraph 6 on Appendix 5140. Neither are specific. Neither demonstrate any facts, any even allegations of next steps. They just say they're continuing development, and we're supposed to kind of guess what that means.
So paragraph 6 refers to phase 2 clinical trial. So why is it guessing? Their view is, when they say they're continuing to develop, they say that they've already completed phase 2. Shouldn't we infer from that that they're going to engage in phase 3?
No, Your Honor. I don't think we should infer that from the one statement about the clinical trials, and for a few reasons. First, the phase 2 clinical trial was a small study that was conducted over 4 years ago now. It was completed over 4 years ago now. The results were posted over 3 years ago. There is not one specific next step that they've identified going from that phase 2 trial anywhere further. They try to say now and in their brief that there's some phase 3 development in the work, but that's never in the record. There's no evidence of that. Mr. Chang doesn't even refer to a phase 3 study. And one thing I'd like to point out, Your Honors, about the phase 2 studies in particular is the results of those studies. So Mr. Chang says nothing about whether or not the phase 2 results were actually positive to the point where Algenesis is really continuing to develop this project. Now, in the gray brief, we hear Algenesis come back and say, no, the results were positive, and they show a potential for this drug to be useful in the treatment of the disease. I want to pause there for a second because I do think it's a little misleading the way that's characterized. If you look at the actual quote that they cite, and you look at the publication from where that quote is, that publication is not about the phase 2 trials. That publication, if you click on that link and go to it, it is about a study that ended before the phase 2 trials and was done in rabbits.
Are you referring to, I'm sorry for interrupting, but are you referring to the phase 2 trial that's referred in paragraph 6 now, or are you referring to the publication that's cited in the gray brief?
I'm referring to the publication that's cited in the gray brief. That's at gray brief 7.
Okay.
So what we have before us is no evidence from Algenesis that the phase 2 study results were even promising to the point where they want to continue developing this drug. And then if you actually look at the clinical study results, which we went to, they didn't have statistical significance for any of their clinical endpoints.
Where would I see those? Is that what I would look at if I saw the NCT, you know, that number there?
Yes, Your Honor. If you go to the clinicaltrials.gov website and you plug that in, you can actually read the protocol and the results, and they didn't achieve statistical.
Additional notice of that?
I believe so. I mean, it's a public record, and you'll be able to. They presented it in their gray brief. You can go to that website. But that's even further than what we need to prove, right? We don't have a burden here. They needed to prove that they have standing. All they did was identify this phase 2 trial.
What about their other grounds for standing, where they say, well, you know, this is a situation where, I believe I remember, there was your client's application, provisional application was filed, then their PCT was filed like 2 weeks later, and then you had your patent application filed 2 weeks after that. And so their argument is that they can somehow show that your U.S. patent application can't rely on the earlier date of their provisional application that you then would be the first to invent, right? You'd be the first to file, excuse me, not the first to invent.
Yes, Your Honor, with respect to these specific claims, yes, we would be.
I think that's what they argue. Well, I don't think they argue it as expressly as they should have.
I agree. I think that's the import of what they were arguing. But that does not confer independent standing jurisdiction at all. So our best medical case that we cite, we think, is on point for this proposition. First, this is a very hypothetical situation that maybe they're going to come up in a different situation and have an examiner or someone else point to this board's priority decision and say, because of that, now all of a sudden, you can't get claims that you want. That hasn't happened, and they haven't alleged that that is going to happen. In fact, we don't know if they're even really going to be continuing pursuing.
They do have continuation applications pending, don't they?
They do, but they haven't shown that there's any direct risk to any of those based on this. But I think the other point.
The problem might be lack of specificity?
Yes, and I think that lack of specificity is the problem throughout the Chang Declaration and a lot of what we've heard today at argument as well, which is, you know, at most they've said, we're in the works for phase three, for example. One, that's not in the record. But even if it was, what does that mean? They're saying that there's some amount of money they might spend later, but we don't have, like, for example, after a phase two trial, you would expect maybe some discussions with FDA. How that trial went? Do we need to fix anything?
What about the substantial risk of infringement piece of it? I know that, and I know you guys have some confidentiality concerns, so talk at the level you can speak to that, but can you speak to that aspect as well?
Certainly, Your Honor. So this is not a case like some of the others, Grid Energy Solutions, for example, where there has been any previous threat of suit. Cloudbreak has never threatened to sue Algenesis on this patent or any other patent. So what they need to prove or what they need to show is something that's going to come in the future, even though nothing has signaled it in the past. And they talk about two things, competitor standing and the negotiations. I think we deal with competitor standing in our briefs. Happy to answer questions on that. But since my colleague on the other side talked about the discussions, I'll focus there. Again, it's a lack of specificity. What we have in the declaration is Mr. Chang saying that Algenesis, Mr. Chang, reached out to us and said, hey, in the context of this IPR, maybe since we're both looking at the same product, why don't we talk about our proposals and see if we can come to some agreement? And then it was Algenesis who said to Cloudbreak, by the way, we are going forward trying to invalidate your patent,
so
and we're going to protect
ourselves.
Part of
your point is that it's Algenesis doing these reach-outs as opposed to the other way around. Is that part of your argument?
Exactly. So, I mean, they have to show that we are going to see what they're doing. Eventually, potentially, if they have a product that we could actually accuse of infringement, we are going to sue them. But all the evidence they presented is just that they are trying to prevent us from getting our patents and progressing with our investment. So, Your Honor, on the investment point, I just have a few more comments there. Again, lack of specificity as to what they're actually spending the money on. And if you look at paragraph 26 in particular of the Chang Declaration, the amount of money that they've spent compared to what they say they're going to spend is quite small. It's only about 15%. So that also signals there's a lot more work to do. And that's fine. You can have a lot more work to do. These are difficult things to actually get approved at the end of the day. But the point is they haven't actually identified what those next steps are that they might be spending the money on.
There's no obligation to use all your time, counsel.
I'm just making sure I have nothing else to say.
Is there something you think they could have said to prove standing with respect to their pending patent applications?
No, Your Honor, I don't. Because ultimately, even under Best Medical, say they were able to show that there was some
other. Best Medical involves totally different facts, right?
It does. I think the general import from that case, though, is that they don't have standing here, so it would be a non-appealable judgment, so they can fight any fight that they need to fight and get it up to appeal should there be a situation later on where there's an impairment of their patent rights. But right now, they don't have
that. They just have to show that they have an injury? I mean, if your client's patent doesn't have written description support going back to the provisional, then they are the first to invent. Why isn't that enough for there to be standing?
I'm not sure that I would say it's necessarily the case that they would be the first to invent. Perhaps there's other
I should say
players.
First to file. First to file. I mean, we don't have interferences anymore.
Right. You know, I would still say that that's not, well, one, again, those facts I don't think are specific before us. But two, even in that situation, that's not an independent basis to confer standing because if that is a injury right now. They haven't shown that there is going to be any effects of that injury. So it's a hypothetical situation that we're talking about.
So maybe if they had shown that they have continuation to applications pending, that they are going to broaden those claims, they're going to seek broader claims if they could clear the path, that they would do that, then that's something they could have shown to show that they have standing.
I agree, Your Honor. If they had more specific facts like that, then perhaps we'd be having a slightly different discussion. But we don't. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. 3 minutes of rebuttal time.
Your Honor, I just wanted to point you also to another paragraph of the Chang Declaration, paragraph 25, where he states, all Genesis has not abandoned its development of Nintendinib and is continuing to devote resources to the development of this project, but reasonably expects that CloudBreak will seek to enforce its patent against any product brought to market. It's on appendix page 5144. That's unrebutted in the record that we're continuing. It's like, sure, there are other cases where...
How can they rebut that anyway? I'm just...
Well, I mean,
it's got to be your personal allegations as to what you're doing. My concern, I just want to make sure you address my concerns,
sure.
Okay? I'm having a problem seeing how this is concrete because it doesn't give me... Looking at our case law and the level of specificity required under our case law, why is this enough to show that you've got concrete claims? It's not, you know...
Well, I think that under the facts of this case, okay, and that the claims of the patent are so specific to something, the use of this compound to treat Tegerion, it's established that we're going to run into this buzzsaw of the patent if we proceed with this project.
What about your opposing counsel's point that all of the reach-outs were kind of in the direction of Algenesis reaching out to CloudBreak as opposed to the other direction?
Well, they called back.
They signed an agreement.
They made an agreement.
That would be rude. You got to just not return the call.
Not only did they do that, they entered an agreement with us to govern the discussions. So it's
but
not,
you
it was,
initiated.
It was,
I just want to make sure I have the facts that you initiated the discussions as opposed to the other way around.
Yes, I believe we initiated the communication because we see the obvious import of the situation here. It's like we're running into the buzzsaw of this particular problem. And I think what we just need some injury. It can be, a lot of people go into the Supreme Court into under Article 3 and some pretty tiny injuries. We're in a context where we're used to some really huge injuries because of drug developments and whatnot, but any injury, no matter how small, is significant enough to create Article 3 standing as long as it's real and it's there. And there's no question that this patent, this invalidity issue, presents a huge obstacle to this case, and the risk of infringement, if we proceed, is real. And, you know, I think according to what the patent owners proposed or suggesting is that we have to spend the rest of this money in order to get there, and I'm not even sure they'd admit that would get us there. And in Lujan, the Supreme Court said the rule that a plaintiff must vet the farm or risk damages before seeking a declaration of its actively contested legal rights finds no support in Article 3. So I think for the purposes of establishing Article 3 jurisdiction, we have provided the court with sufficient information in this particular set of facts, this particular patent, to justify hearing our appeal of the board's decision, which is another right that Congress gave us to appeal the board's decision, provided we have Article 3 standing.
Okay, we thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.
Thank you, Your Honor.